games I'm not on. Now I am. Thank you, brother. Sometimes I wonder how we can sit silent. Sister Sandy got shouting a little bit right there, and that scared some of you. It's funny you don't jump like that at a ball game. We all right? She wasn't shouting over somebody hitting a home run, running a touchdown. They were singing, God has been so good to me. Amen. Yeah, that's worth getting excited over. Go ahead, Miss Sandy. Hang on just a second. We are live on the radio. And I know you say you don't need this, but our listeners at home miss out on the blessing. Amen. That's all right.
I just want to say that I love the Lord.
Amen, Sid.
And I can identify for 2 years. I just want to tell everybody how God has been good to me. They don't know what I've been through with my son.
That's right.
When you see your boy, you get a phone call and he's overdosed and your daughter-in-law goes to prison.
Yeah. God bless you, sis.
You don't know night after night. And if it wasn't for God, Brother Eddie, I couldn't be standing here.
That's right.
He's brought me through so much, and I thank him for that.
Amen.
You know, I don't give up because I know
that's right.
He said if I would ask and I would believe, he's going to get my boy.
That's
he's
right.
He's going to get him a boy.
Amen.
And I thank everybody for Brother Freddie coming to visit him.
Amen.
Brother Freddie. Because that's what he needs is people who love him and will pray for him.
That's right.
That's so important is prayer. That's why I try to stay on my knees when I hear about Ashley and Sister Lori.
Just
God just moves on my soul about these people.
Thank God.
You know, I'm ignorant. I can't do much. But you know what? I can pray.
Amen.
Thank God I can pray for people.
Thank God.
And that's what I ask is everybody just pray for my boy.
Yes, ma'am.
Said.
Amen. God bless
just
your heart.
Love him.
Amen. He's worthy. What a blessing. You hear what she said, moms? Don't give up. Don't ever give up. I've heard people say too many times, I just gave up praying for so and so. You may be the cause they never come back to God. Amen. Don't ever give up. Take your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to Exodus chapter number 2. Exodus chapter number 2. I want to talk to you this morning. I don't have a text verse this morning, but we're going to look at several verses of Scripture. And I want to talk to you this morning about how good mothers make a difference. Good mothers make a difference. Now, I don't know if you're as, I don't know if cruel's the word or maybe just honesty is the best word. I think there are some mothers in America this morning who don't deserve children. I'll be honest with you, none of them do, but God's been gracious and allowed us to. But sometimes when I'm out in public and I see some of these women with their children and I wonder. I see them in Walmart and the kids are dressed ragtag and filthy and dirty and the kids are begging for a piece of candy and mama says we don't have the money but yet she's got two cases of beer in the buggy. Sometimes I'd like to just wring their neck and shake them real good and tell them how they don't deserve those children. Y'all don't dry up on me this morning. If that's you, shame on you. Amen. I'm going to deny my child a something sweet so I can get drunk, amen? Amen. I look in the news and that lady down in Florida, the big deal over the missing baby, and boy, sometimes it's just disheartening when you look at society. But yet I come in and out of the house of God and I find encouragement. Because I see some mothers that still love God. And I see some mothers who still have a desire to rear their children and point their children in the right direction. And for that this morning, I am thankful and I want to say, bless His holy name. Thank God for some mothers who have made a difference. I was thinking last night, I was dead dog tired as we got home from Arkansas. We stayed in a motel and they were doing some renovating and I don't know, they had some bad mold issues and it about killed me, but I sat there and was thinking last night of just about some mothers that I've known in my lifetime who have made a difference. There's a little mom this morning who I grew up around and around her children. She lives in Augusta, South Carolina. And, I won't mention her name, but my mother and my family know well who she is. She had a house full of children. I meant to count them off. I think there was six or seven, eight children. She raised eight children. Her husband was a very abusive alcoholic. He wasn't just a man who drank. He was a man who drank and beat his wife up. I mean, it was horrible. I remember night after night her calling my mother, and we would go pick her up off the side of the road where she was hiding from her husband. In cases like that, often you will look and see where the children, you'll think, well, they just have no hope. Thank God for a godly mother who made a difference. As far as I know this morning, all seven of those children are in church. As far as I know this morning, all seven of those children love God and serve God. One is an assistant pastor to a pastor who pastors about 3,000 people. One married a missionary, and on and on and on and on. It's amazing what a difference a good mother can make. Amen. In those children's lives, they had two influences and they were totally opposite. One was a very worldly influence. The other was a very godly influence. I'm glad that the greater influence won over in the hearts of those children. Amen. And let me just encourage you, moms. We have some mothers who come to church with their children alone. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. If your husband is mean and your husband is abusive, don't ever give up on God. Your children's future may depend on where you stand with Christ this morning. I wonder how many times that little mother felt like throwing up her hands and saying, I give up. There's no use. Or maybe to coin a phrase, if you can't beat them, join them. I'm sure it crossed her mind. All those times she took a cussing and a knocking around for trying to get those kids ready and go to the house of God. I bet if you ask her this morning, she'd say it was worth it. It was worth it all. Thank God the old husband did get right in the end before he died and got saved and got cleaned up. And we praise the Lord for that. But those children turned out the way they did this morning because of the influence of a godly mother. We could go through family after family after family and after family. And think about mothers who've made a difference in the lives of their children. My own mother sits here this morning. And I remember overhearing conversations as a child. She raised me and my little sister by herself. My dad was gone. He left when I was 4 years old. Every Saturday morning we were up bright and early and traveling up and down dirt roads and knocking on doors and inviting boys and girls to come to Sunday school. Every Sunday morning we were up bright and early and on an old bus, whether it was 20 degrees or 100 degrees, it didn't make any difference. And we were running a bus up and down the country. We were in church every time the doors were open. We were in church every time there was a revival meeting. And here's what people said. They looked at my mother and said, Sandra, you are going to cause those children to hate God and to hate church. You making them go to church, don't you ever, mothers, listen to me, don't you ever let anybody tell you that it's wrong to make your children go to church. When they tell you, I don't believe it's right to make your child go to church, you tell them, well then don't make your child go to school. Amen. Isn't that crazy? We say it's wrong to make them go to the house of God where eternity is at stake, and hearing about blood-bought salvation and learning about the Savior, we won't make them do that, but we will make them go learn how to add, subtract, and multiply. Something's wrong with our thinking. Who cares? Who cares if your kid is a calculus genius or some kind of rocket scientist if he dies and goes to hell? When they tell you if you make your children go to church, they'll grow up to hate it. That's a lie. Amen. There's nobody in this room in church more than I am. Nobody. Nobody. Most weeks, I'm not just in church, but most weeks I preach sometimes 6 and 7 times a week. Last weekend, I traveled to Smyrna, Delaware, and I forgot how many times I preached. I preached a bunch in 2 days. I called the guy on the phone. I said, how many times am I supposed to preach? He said, well, he said, if everything works out, 8. I said, man, I ain't got but 5 messages. Good night. What are you saying? I'm saying I love church. Yeah. Brother Jason said, when are we going to go fishing? Hey, man, whenever I get a break, preaching is number one. The house of God is number one. Serving God is number one. Why? Not because I have to, but because I want to. Why do I want to? It was instilled in me from a child.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Thank God. Thank you, Mom. Thank you for snatching the covers off on Sunday morning. Y'all don't send her to jail. There's a statute of limitations, and I guess it's wore out. Thank you. She didn't wake me up. She beat me up. She'd come in that room, call me about 3 times, come back in there and snatch the covers off and go to whooping. I'd say, but Mama, I don't want to go to church today. She'd say, I didn't ask you if you wanted to go to church today. Get out of that bed. It wasn't a matter of want to.
Yeah.
Amen. You know what she was doing? She was building or bending my will to hers and the will of God. Amen. Thank God for mothers who made a difference. My dad, my real dad, and I took a trip together just a few weeks ago. Till just a couple of months ago, we hadn't seen each other in 13 years. I'd been separated from my biological father. We were driving down the road, and he said something that'll stick with me till the day I die. And he said to me, he said, son, one of the things I'm most thankful for in the world is your mother and the influence she's had on your life. He said, you don't ever forget you are what you are today because of how she raised you.
Amen.
And I thought, wow.
Amen.
What a truth.
Amen.
And what a blessing. Thank God for mothers who are making a difference.
Yes,
moms, we ought to purpose in our hearts today to make a difference in the lives of our children. I want to look at several mothers in the Bible this morning. I'll get you out of here. What time is it? My goodness. I'll hurry. Exodus chapter number 2. I want to show you this morning a protective mother. A protective mother. You can take the calmest, mildest woman on the face of the earth, push her around, badmouth her, do her dirty, and do her wrong. But don't mess with one of her youngins.
Yeah.
Hear what I said? You can do her any old way, but don't mess with one of her youngins. I don't want to compare our mothers to dogs in no way, shape, or form. But one of the most dangerous things you can do is poke your hand in a doghouse where there's puppies. You will get bit. They say the female lion is at her most dangerous point when she has cubs. When that child arrives, or that baby arrives, whether it's animal, whether it's human, there's an instinctive nature that God has placed in that mother to protect the life of that child. Amen.
Amen.
The devil seems to weasel his way in and warp that thing that God put within us, and we've got mothers in America who just don't care.
Amen.
We've got mothers this morning. Today is Mother's Day. But yet they put their child on a bus to be sent to Sunday school because they just want away from them for a while.
Yeah.
That's not the situation in every case, but I promise you there's some kids here this morning whose mother just wanted a babysitter for a while this morning.
Amen.
On Mother's Day. But I thank God for some mothers who are protective. We're going to read just a little bit about Jochebed, Moses' mother. The Bible said in chapter number 2 of Exodus, the Bible said there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. You got to understand, Pharaoh's having all the newborn Hebrew children killed. And when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark for him of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank, and his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. Most of you know, if you hadn't read your Bible, at least you've seen the Ten Commandments, the story of Moses. Here was a lady in the Bible who was willing to give up her child to protect him. Here was a lady who was willing to turn her child over to the hand of the enemy rather than see him die. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I'd say that's a protective nature, wouldn't you? You remember the two ladies in the Bible who came before the king and they had a dispute about who the child belongs to? One lady said, "It's my child." The other lady said, "No, it's my child." And the king, being wise as he was, he said, "Well, I'll tell you what we'll do." He said, "We'll take this sword right here and we'll just cut that baby in half and we'll give half to you and half to you."
Amen.
That was pretty smart of the king. The other one lady said, spoke up and said, "No, give her the baby."
Yeah.
He said, "No, you must be the mother."
Yes.
Why? She was willing to give up her child to protect her child. To what length are you willing to go to protect your children this morning? I'm asking you a question, moms. One of the greatest responsibilities we have as parents is to protect our children.
Yeah.
And if there was ever a day in America where our children need protecting, it's today.
Yeah.
You know what I said? It is today. There's more danger facing them on every hand than you can shake a stick at. They're telling me that now children are crunching up sweet tarts and smoking them to get high. They are, one of our babies brought their preacher something. She knew I wouldn't get nothing for Mother's Day. Amen. I got a jar, don't y'all even be looking. I got a jar full of Skittles. Do you know they are fixing drugs now to look like candy?
Yeah.
Why? So they will appeal to third, fourth, and fifth grade children. Hey, you know what the devil's trying to do? He's trying to get his hooks into them while they are very young. Not get them addicted in their 20s or get them addicted in their teens, but get them addicted as soon as they come out of the kindergarten class.
Yeah, bro.
We need some mothers who will be willing to protect their children. I don't know if you realize it or not, but our children need protecting. They need somebody to watch over them. They may not appreciate it every time, but later they'll say, "Thank God there was a mama at home who had my back." They need to be protected physically. A child left to himself will kill himself. Amen. Hear what I said? Hayden's, I guess he's in the nursery. Hayden's my little old grandson. We have a pool at home. You say, "Well, I don't believe in swimming." Well, don't have a pool. I love it. Amen. I'll remember that next time you'll come to my house. Amen. Hayden runs in the back door of the house and he runs to the door that leads out onto the deck that leads down to the swimming pool. And he stands there and he says, "Pool, pool, pool, pool." You turn that boy out that door and turn your back on him, he's going to be in that pool. He can't swim a lick. If we don't protect him from that, the thing we thought would bring joy and enjoyment to the family could kill the family. Amen. I love to hunt. I raised my son hunting. If you're an animal rights activist, this is not the place for you. We don't watch Bambi, we eat him. Amen. Hallelujah. If it's brown, it's down. Thank God. Amen. That's why God put him here. Amen. I started taking my son hunting when he was very little. Very little. I put him in a sleeping bag and wrap him up between my feet, and every time we saw a deer, I'd wake him up. He killed his first deer when he was 10, something. He's very young. But how dare I take a high-powered rifle and hand it to a 10-year-old and say, go ahead, son. Wouldn't that be foolish?
Yeah.
Our children need protecting physically.
Amen.
There's a real devil out there.
Amen.
There's a real world out there.
Yes.
That's harsh and rough.
Yes.
And mean at best. But our children not only need protecting physically, they need to be protected spiritually. Sometimes y'all think we're a little hard on things and we're a little narrow-minded. Hey, man, our children's lives are at stake.
Yes, sir.
We ought to be protective of what they watch.
Yes,
sir. Amen. Amen, brother.
Probably most people in this room are guilty in this. Making the children leave the room because of what you're watching on the television. Well, it got quiet there, didn't it? Oh, this is supposed to be a great celebration day. I want it to be. But I want it to be from years to come. And if we'll start protecting our children at an early age, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we need to protect our children spiritually.
Amen.
Yeah.
The devil wants to get into them through here, and he wants to get into them through here.
Yes, he does.
We need to protect what they see, and we need to protect what they hear.
Yeah, bro.
Yes, amen.
Are you listening?
Right.
Yes, sir.
My mother was probably one of the nosiest mothers I've ever known. She ain't changed a bit. No, seriously. I had a special drawer in my bedroom where I hid my love notes. She read every one of them. What's she doing? Getting in my business. There were times when I had telephone conversation with girls or buddies, or it didn't matter. I could hear her breathing on the other end of the line. You say, man, that ain't right to get you in your kids' business. Yes, it's right. Their lives depend on it. But I would never invade my child's privacy. Mm-hmm. You better. Why? They ain't got sense enough to protect themselves. They ain't got sense enough to protect themselves. I said they ain't got sense enough to protect themselves. Hey, mommy, it will never happen to me. Oh, yes, it will. Yes, it will. We need some protective mothers. And thank God we have some protective mothers. A couple of years ago, an older fella got Katie's phone number. He lived in another state far away. Wasn't no danger of him meeting up and doing nothing wrong, but he was calling my daughter without my permission. She was 15 years old. I found out about it. All they were doing, just talking, texting. I thought Tex was a man with a cowboy hat and rode a horse. I found out about it. I called the dude up on her phone. He thought I was her. Boy, was he wrong. He answered the phone, hey! That's what he said, hey! I said, hey! He said, who is this? I said, it ain't Katie. Long story short, I threatened him with every inch of bodily damage one human being could inflict upon another. He didn't think it was very funny. I said, brother, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to pray. And if the Holy Ghost reveals to me you've even thought about my daughter, I'm driving to where you live and I'll kill you. You say, that's ridiculous. He ain't called my daughter no more. What is it? I have a duty to protect my child.
Amen.
Y'all all right this morning? Y'all looking at me goofy. By the way, if you got an older kid then thinking about you, you better think twice.
Yeah.
Amen. Because if you think I'm mean, You don't even want to go there. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. I got to hurry. Get y'all out of here. I know some of y'all done cut me off a long time ago. Thank you, Brother Casey. 1 Samuel chapter number 4. I don't know if you know the story about Hannah. Hannah was a lady in the Bible who had no child, and she prayed. She prayed to God till she lost her voice. Preacher thought she was drunk because of the way she was acting. She is begging God for a baby. And she made a deal with God. She promised God if he'd give her a child, she'd give that child back to him. 1 Samuel chapter number 4, verse number 24. There ain't a verse number 24. Chapter 2, hang on. Y'all don't know where I'm going. Well, she told God if he'd give her son, she'd give that son back to God. I ain't reading it. I'm mad. I know where it's at now. Thank you. Y'all shut up. As soon as that kid was weaned, you know what she did? She bundled him up, took him right to the house of God and said, here.
Yeah.
I want to dedicate this kid's life to God. She left him there.
Amen.
Now don't you dare come bring me your children. I ain't got the time, the patience, nor the money. But she took her child to the house of God and she left him there. Here's where I'm going. Not only do we need protective mothers, but we need supportive mothers.
Amen.
Once, twice a year around here, we have what we call baby dedication. Young parents like David and Sister Ashley, they bring their little babies and we gather here in this altar and we pray and they dedicate their children to God. We give them their first Bible, their little certificate and all that. Do you know, sometimes I wonder, is that just a show, or do we mean business? When Levi was a senior in high school, my son, and he began to ponder on what God would have him do, I remembered the time that my wife and I brought him to an altar as a little baby and dedicated him to God. God had placed a call on his life to preach the gospel. He talked about going in the military. He talked about this and he talked about that. And my wife and I told him, son, what about what God wants you to do? A parent wants nothing more for their child to be successful. My flesh wanted him to go to school and learn how to make a bunch of money and buy his daddy a bass boat. That's what I wanted. But what about God's will for his life?
Yeah.
What about God's will for his life? Finally, he said, Dad, I believe God wants me to go to Bible school. His mama could have said, son, trust me. You won't never get rich preaching.
Yeah.
Do you know what she did? She supported God's will and God's decision for his life. We dedicate our children to God, but yet inwardly we put limits on what God can do with their lives. For our children's future and their joy and their happiness, we need to give them over completely to the will of God for their lives. Protective mothers, supportive mothers, 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I'm almost done. 2 Timothy, some of y'all done already, ain't you? 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Maybe I got this one right. Yeah. Verse number 5. We've looked at a protective mother and a supportive mother, but I want us to notice an instructive mother. Paul, talking about Timothy in verse number 5 of 2 Timothy 1, said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also." Now stay with me just a minute. I'm almost done. It's odd to me Paul didn't brag on his grandfather or his father. But when he looked at young Timothy, he was reminded of the faith of his grandmother and of his mother, and he said, "And I see that also in you." Somewhere along the line, somebody had set this boy down and taught him. We learn a lot of things from Dad. How to change oil, how to cut grass, how to do this, how to do that. But how much do we learn from our mothers? Most young men and young women learn the basic necessities about life, about faith, about God. We learn them from our mothers. It's not usually Daddy who reads the bedtime story. It's Mama. As mothers, you have a great responsibility to teach your child. I told a parent in my office several years ago, she had her child in our Christian school. She sat down in my office upset with me because we were not doing our job. I said, "Ma'am, let me tell you something. It is not my job to educate your child." She looked at me and she said, "Well, what am I paying you for?" I said, "To aid and to help you to educate your child." We got quiet right there. It's not Uncle Sam's job to educate your child. I don't care if they sit in school 12 hours a day and they go home and there's no support on that end.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, it got quiet, didn't it?
Yeah.
Children come into school day after day after day after. They do all their seat work, but they fail because their homework's not done.
Yeah.
Amen. Whose fault is that? I'm going to tell you whose fault it is. Mama's fault.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm smiling while I say it. I remember as a kid growing up vividly. The book, you see it usually in doctor's office and dentist office. We had it at home. Those Bible story books. I remember my mother teaching me about God. I remember my mother teaching me that this book was God's Word. And that it was perfect and inerrant. That it was inspired of God. That every word of it was true. That I could build and base my life on it. As I was just a young boy in school, she gave me a little brown Bible. It's small, but it's the whole Bible. And she gave me that Bible. And right in the front of that Bible, I've got it in my study. In that Bible, it says, "My son, this book will keep you from sin."
Yes, bro. Yeah.
"And son, sin will keep you from this book."
Amen.
Thank God for a mother who instructs her children in righteousness. The last mother, Brother Todd, you can come. Sister Ashley, you and Elizabeth, give us a song. The last mother I want to look at this morning is a loyal mother. In John chapter number 19, you don't have to turn there, but we'll find Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. You know where she's at in John chapter number 19? She's at the foot of the cross. Jesus gives those words, "Son, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son." He's saying, "Mama, go home with John. John, you take care of my mama." From the cross, suffering, bleeding, and dying. What are you saying? I'm saying she was a loyal mother. When the whole world was against him, she was for him. And he was perfectly innocent. But yet it never fails when I go to visit somebody in the jail. It seems that almost every time I go, in one of the little stools along where you sit and pick up the phone and look through the big thick glass, there'll always be a mother there, Brother Gray. Looking through the glass, someone who has been convicted of a crime, but she loves them no less.
Amen.
The world looks through that glass and sees a thug and a punk and a criminal. That mama never fails to look through that glass and see her baby. Thank God for the loyalty of a mother. You said, "Preacher, you think your kids are perfect?" No, I know my kids aren't perfect. They've made mistakes. They've made bad decisions. But we stand by them. We've just got one left at home now. That's Katie. I think she's the neatest kid in the world. I don't care what you think. She's awesome. I'm excited about what God's got for her life. We're going to continue to protect her. But at the same time, we're going to be loyal to her. Amen. We need mothers who will protect their children. Let's stand to our feet. We need mothers in America who will be supportive of their children when it comes to the will of God for their life. We need mothers who will instruct their children in the ways of God. We need mothers in America that will be loyal. Loyal. I'm thinking about a young man this morning. Just talk to him. Talk to him this morning. His mother has turned her back on him. His father has turned his back on him. He made a statement to me a while back, just a few days ago. You know what he said? "You're all I got." I hope I never do something so bad that my mom would say, "You're no longer my son." Well, I want to be loyal to my kids. If my kids can't say anything else, the day I die, I hope they can look in the casket and say, "That man stood by me through thick and thin. That lady, that mother, stood by me through thick and thin." God dealing with your heart in any way this morning, the altar's open. Hey, sir, ma'am, boy, girl, maybe you'd like to get your mama by the hand and just come pray with her. Maybe you remember when you were a child how she knelt down by your bed and said your prayers with you. Maybe it's been a long time since you prayed with mom. That might be real good this morning. Y'all sing whatever's on your heart. The Lord dealing with you, you come this morning.